Congratulations, you're downloader number 10,000, and you've just won a brand new Cirrus SR22 G2 with free insurance and free avgas for an entire year. Email us right away to claim your prize. Well, not really, but welcome to AvWeb's audio news service for Friday, March 31st, 2006, one day before, you guessed it, April Fool's Day. Today's audiocast is made possible by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. In today's AvWeb In-Depth, we'll be talking to Peter Maurer, head of North American operations for Diamond Aircraft. As we've reported, Diamond has experienced stronger than anticipated demand for its sophisticated diesel-powered Twin Star. We'll hear how that's changing Diamond's view of the market, but first, these news briefs. While we're on the subject of Diamond Aircraft, the Chinese would like to have Cessna and Cirrus join the party in building aircraft for the growing Chinese training and GA market. Both Cirrus and Cessna have been approached by the Chinese government to jointly manufacture in China and to develop new models for the Asian market. Diamond has already launched a major presence in China and is busily completing work on a factory there. While Diamond looks east, another company is looking toward Oklahoma to set up shop making the Model 11E, which debuted a few years ago under the old Luscombe nameplate. But the new company has dropped the Luscombe name and will do business as Quartz Mountain Aerospace. The 11E is a derivative of Luscombe's original 11A and is a four-place single with a Continental IO 360. As Quartz Mountain works to get established, Columbia Aircraft has announced an interesting promotional campaign for its fast four-seater aircraft. For the summer airshow circuit, Columbia has enlisted famed airshow pilot Sean D. Tucker to fly aerobatic routines in one of its stock airplanes. Columbia says the airframe is more than up to the task, since its models are the only airplanes to be certified in the utility category for at least three decades. Check Columbia's website, www.flycolumbia.com, for Tucker's airshow schedule. As we reported earlier this week, the airshow season formally kicks off next week on opening day of Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida. Look for a detailed report on what to see and do at Lakeland in Monday's AvWeb Flash. Make sure to stop by Diamond's booth at Sun and Fun for a look at the DA-42 Twin Star, powered by a pair of Thielert diesel Centurion engines. Aviation consumer editor Paul Bertarelli recently interviewed Diamond's Peter Maurer. Here's his report.
We're visiting this week with Peter Maurer, head of North American operations for Diamond Aircraft. Peter, I'd like to ask you about Diamond's diesel engine developments, but first, the bigger news is that the Thielert Group has just announced that it has bought Superior Air Parts. Can you tell us what this is going to mean for Diamond?
Well, I think it's good news for our customers in North America. We always took the position that we didn't want to bring a product to a market where the requisite support wasn't available. And certainly with Thielert taking this very significant step of acquiring Superior and their distribution and service network and establishing a presence in Dallas to do training for the turbo diesel engines and to provide technical support in North America, it's a very significant step in our minds, and we welcome it very much, of course.
Do you think this is going to mean significant competition in new engines for Lycoming?
Are you referring to the turbo diesel engines or to...
Referring to the fact that Superior has a fairly well-advanced engine initiative of its own, all in Lycoming engines, four cylinders mainly.
Of course, they have the IO 360 or O 360 Vantage engines, and that engine has quite a few Thielert components in it. Thielert is a significant vendor for Superior, as far as I understand it. I honestly don't know what Thielert's market strategy is, but he seems to be covering both bases by being able to supply conventional engines and being able to supply the modern turbo diesel engines.
What do you think the market response would be to a Thielert-constructed four-cylinder engine, say for an airplane like the DA-40 Star?
I think that depends on what kind of service history that type of engine would have. At this point, I honestly don't know how many of the Vantage engines are on the market. But I think that most customers, if they were offered an alternative, I mean, how would you look at it? If there was a equal horsepower, similar weight engine available with good support, I think most people would welcome some competition. But as I said, the Lycoming has a very good track record. It's a well-proven engine. And at this point, I don't know how many Superior engines are out there and what kind of track record they have at this stage.
Okay, well, when we get a chance, we'll talk to Frank Thielert about it. In the meantime, let's move on here. I'd like to ask you about market activity in the diesel arena. A few months ago, you told me that response to diesels in the U.S. had been somewhat better than you had anticipated. Can you tell us how many diesels are flying in the U.S., both the singles and the twins, and what your plans are for advancing market share with a twin diesel?
Yeah, the single diesel, we haven't marketed that aircraft in North America at this point. The twin aircraft, the DA-42, we of course announced originally with the turbo diesel engines. We later announced that we would have a version available with a like twin Lycomings, and in fact we have a prototype or two prototypes that we had been flying. And at some point in the program, we had also said that we prefer to lead with a Lycoming with a conventional engine in North America because of the established service network for that engine. We found that most of the customers that we have, and we've got over 200 order backlog in North America, most of the customers actually really like the idea of having a high technology, a modern engine. Especially the simplicity of operation was important to them, the single lever throttle, the thrust lever. That controls both engine and propeller. I mean, here's a twin-engine aircraft that has only two engine controls. They like that very much, and there seemed to be a lot of favor for the turbo diesel engines. In the meantime, especially with the support initiatives that Thielert is making here and the experience that we have internationally with the DA-42, we've delivered it in Europe, in Asia. That experience has been very positive. We feel very confident that we're ready to launch with a turbo diesel-powered twin in North America. In fact, we've delivered six in North America so far, and we've got several more coming over until the middle of the year out of Austrian production. And we're in the process of starting final assembly of the aircraft here at the London facility. The first two aircraft are actually on the final assembly line, and we expect to deliver the first two aircraft out of North American assembly end of May or early June.
As far as the twin is concerned, are you finding that customers are more interested in low operating costs of the diesels than you'd originally anticipated?
I think that is a factor. Certainly, the DA-42 in typical cruise will burn around 12 gallons an hour total. Higher speed cruise, 14 gallons an hour. The maximum that that engine will consume is 8.1 gallons a side. So you can never have more than just over 16 gallons per hour fuel consumption for the aircraft. And with rising fuel costs, I think people do consider fuel burn. The thing that the DA-42 offers is, of course, twin engine reliability or the redundancy, power plant redundancy, plus known ICE certification for essentially the same cost as many high-performance singles. Traditionally, the problem with a twin is that a twin is far more expensive to acquire and far more expensive to operate. And in this particular case, we're actually offering a twin to customers that is price competitive with high performance singles and, in our mind, offers more capability.
So where does that leave the Lycoming powered version?
The Lycoming powered version right now is, quite frankly, under review. We do have interest in it, especially in the flight training area where people would be interested in a modern alternative to a Piper Seminole, which is obviously the Piper Seminole's strongest market is flight training. And in that market, having the known reliability of the Lycoming, having a six-lever cockpit is something that's quite attractive. One of the things that we're reviewing internally is if we bring out this Lycoming-powered version and certify it, how large would our market be and how long would that market last until those customers would also be interested in a diesel-powered aircraft. I mean, comparing a Lycoming-powered twin, let's say the IO-360 or O-360 engines, typically, you're burning 20 gallons an hour with that kind of aircraft, and if you can do flight training operations at 12 gallons an hour, 8 gallons an hour, if you're paying 3 gallons, $24 an hour, and if they're doing 100 hours a month, that adds up to very significant money. And sooner or later, I think the economics take over, and it's quite feasible that even if we bring out a Lycoming-powered aircraft at this stage, that there may not be a market for it a few years from now. That, of course, all depends on the success of the diesel engine that's being introduced, and support is a key factor to that. And so, again, very happy to see Thielert take an aggressive initiative in North America.
When the twin was first mentioned, when we first found out about it, we expected it would be 190 to 200 knot airplane. In reality, it's somewhat slower than that. because I think some engine cooling issues. Do you think that there's a little bit more speed inside that airframe if the engines get tweaked or the airframe gets tweaked? What will happen ultimately with the performance of that airplane?
Well, you're correct. I mean, when we originally brought the aircraft or announced the aircraft, we did some preliminary flight tests, and the preliminary flight test showed promise of higher performance than we're currently able to deliver. Nevertheless, the performance of the aircraft is very good, and with the added capability of flying a single engine in case of an engine failure, the added capability to go across open water, going through bad terrain, and having no ice, it becomes a very capable cross-country aircraft. Obviously, if there are airframe improvements or engine power increase, that would be positive for the aircraft. Currently, we're satisfied with the aircraft as it is, but I don't think there's a single aircraft model out there by any manufacturer that didn't with time benefit from some improvements either in power plant or airframe that ultimately increase the performance of the aircraft. And obviously we're looking at this aircraft having a long life, and it's conceivable that sometime in future that there would be some improvements that would benefit performance.
As far as the engines are concerned, have you been satisfied with the service history of the diesels?
Yes, otherwise, quite frankly, we wouldn't be introducing it in North America at this stage. We have experience with over 150 diesel singles, and we made our experiences with that, operating in high utilization applications in colder weather and hotter weather. That experience flowed into the engine installation on the DA-42, the Twin Star. And we've delivered, we're close to 100 units, I think, worldwide at this point. And we've got them operating in a variety of environmental conditions as well. And it's been a good experience so far with the DA-42. We've operated them even in extremely cold climates. When we did our last ferry flights across the North Atlantic, there were sustained operations at minus 26. The aircraft performed very well. They start very well in hot as well as cold weather. We've demonstrated that. And at this point, it's been going quite well, and that gives us the confidence to introduce the aircraft in North America.
One other question we've heard, status of the D-Jet. I understand it's about ready to fly in London.
Yeah, we're getting close. Not quite there yet, but we're making significant progress every day, and we just completed our limit load test on the wing, on the structure, and the wing is being mated to the fuselage essentially as we speak. So we're in preparation right now, final systems checks, a load test, control surface load test, etc., preparing for first flight fairly soon here.
I'm afraid that's all the time we have for this week, Peter. Thanks very much for talking with us. We'll follow up with you on both the diesel technology and the Superior initiative in a few months. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Paul.
This AvWeb in-depth interview was made possible by Aviation Consumer Magazine. In Monday's audiocast, we'll have a Sun and Fun advance report. And later in the week, we'll talk to FAA Administrator Marion Blakey about what the FAA is doing to speed up delay in the agency's certification branch.
You're just a little bit ahead of the game. But what I can tell you is this.
Listen for that report next week right here on AvWeb's audio news service. Mention to your friends that you discovered us at AvWeb.com. Now you're up to date on aviation news. This is Mike Blakeney reporting.